Welcome to another episode of our podcast, Polk Properties. Is happy to present you with a few more thoughts. I hope you enjoy them. I have provided links to the articles that are mentioned within the podcast within the description. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Michael, what are you up to today?
Wait, all right, stop.
October 7th, 2019, 8 o'clock a.m. Is rent control the answer, or is there some other way? Written by Michael Polk of Polk Properties. There it is again. Another discussion about rent control in the news. Just what is it, and what are the varied interests competing or defending in this arena? A textbook definition would go something like this. Rent control is a system of regulations administered by a public authority that limits any rise in rental rates outside of a public or government prescribed amount. Another way my colleagues in the real estate industry might describe rent control is a taking and redistribution scheme to relieve one social ill at the expense of another group. Well, you may say, isn't this eminent domain? That may or may not be so in the most exact sense. But the property owner will possess less after rent control's implementation, less money, a dimmer future, and a decreased desire to operate their property. The objective of controlling the prices of rent is usually to counteract the inequality of bargaining power between landlords and tenants, as part of a minimum set of rights to make the market fair. It may function as a price ceiling. Rent control laws vary from one jurisdiction to another within some countries. With the housing crisis, here's the lowdown. The situation is dire. A lot of factors are at work, ranging from density to construction to gentrification and more. There are worldwide calls for rent control. The people are speaking and the given representatives are listening. Just look at the situation in New York City. Everybody has a side. Renters, the homeless population, property owners, and politicians. Who gains and who loses in this situation? On the one hand, there is an epic need for affordable housing. On the other hand, property owners should be allowed to benefit from their capital and labor. If the government powers that be want rent control implemented where it doesn't currently exist, I say they should use eminent domain and buy the property, operate it, and deal with the associated issues. I submit any rent control apartment owner should be allowed to enact reverse eminent domain. I just made that up. They should be able to queue up to the government and wash their hands of the property and associated issues. No takers. Renters require adequate housing that they can afford. Rent control can give them a sense of, well, control. They don't have to worry about their rent increasing annually without a cap. The downside of rent control for the renter is that the property owner has no incentive to improve their property for a paltry return. Rent control can allow for an us versus them situation in landlord-tenant relationships. Renters want to maintain their control, and landlords want to maximize the return on their investment. The politicians want votes. The homeless population is seeking relief. Oh, and I should mention the neighbors who live in areas of rent control. They may be fixed in place through home ownership or other reasons. If landlords have no incentive to repair or improve their property, what happens? You can probably imagine. Also not considered from the landlord's position is the equity trapped in their property by rent-controlled income. There are properties in major cities that have a rent control or stabilization scheme in place. So the true value of the landlord's capital and efforts will never be realized. I know, the landlord is usually the bad guy in the story. But not really. What exactly did the landlord do to the tenant who came to lease his unit? His rent is what he wants to charge, right? If not, isn't this a taking by the government of the landlord's present and future earnings? Most people purchase property for personal prosperity and future gain. Maybe they wish to leave an inheritance for their family. When they purchased the property, it wasn't subject to rent control, and then, bam, the value just dropped. Isn't that a taking? It may be for a well-intentioned reason, yet it is still a taking. The real question is, should those who do not own the property, for example, tenants and the government, be able to make decisions for those who do? Of course, normal zoning and land use issues aside, I mean to make decisions as to how much risk he is willing to bear. If I charge too much for a rental unit, then no one takes my product. The market can sort this out if our system is sound, right? Did landlords cause income inequality? Should they be forced to solve it? Politicians have little incentive to go against the voters' will, and more voters will be tenants than landlords. So what can the landlords do? They can lobby, but who will they lobby? Politicians. So how could the competing desires be fairly ranked? All landlords are not evil. All rent control tenants are not freeloaders. In my opinion, there's a simple solution. If the government wants rent control in their city or state, they should build it themselves or contribute to the land to do so. This way, the burden would shift more equitably. The governmental agencies can also earn money off the investment of contributed land. Any plan involving affordable housing must address the homeless, of course. If government entities would contribute the land and entitling the same, density shifts to accommodate homeless populations in a distributed way can be achieved. And politicians, they get to do something about creating jobs for, first and foremost, a newly stabilized homeless population. The shame we all should feel when we see or hear about the homeless condition can begin to be mitigated by contributing government-owned land where available. We have what we need. Builders could build anywhere, and it would be a win-win.
All right, Barbara, let's see how this works out. What are we going to talk about?
We could talk about rent control today.
Yeah, well, this is, I guess we could talk about that. I hate rent control. How about you?
Well, I think that blanket rent control is probably a bad idea because it ends up actually punishing people in the long run because the landlords don't give them the services that they're supposed to get because the landlords aren't making enough money. But I do feel that there needs to be controls on certain types of housing so that people can afford to live there. And so,
what do you mean certain types of housing? What kind of housing would that be?
Well, that would be affordable housing that is somehow subsidized by government agencies because either they gave the land, or they gave certain tax incentives or some kind of incentives in order for the people to build affordable housing. Sometimes when they do large complexes, there will be maybe three different types of housing within the same complex. I know they used to do that in New York City a lot. So there'll be luxury housing and middle-class housing and affordable housing all within the same huge complex in different areas, of course. So the affordable housing could have some kind of rent control on it, just because they have to keep it affordable.
But what kind of alchemy is that? Some kind of rent control. I mean, it's easy to get some kind of rent control, hocus pocus. What kind of rent control?
There's some kind of rule built in. To the ability to build that kind of housing where it's agreed to that...
By who? Who's doing the agreeing? Who has the right to agree? The who, what? The landlord.
The landlord who's purchasing or the landlord who's constructing this housing agrees that because they're being given certain incentives, being given land or incentives or something by the city or state government, that they'll raise rent beyond a certain limit. No, they won't raise rents beyond a certain limit. They'll have some kind of limit.
We already have that. That's called rent control.
No, but right now they just passed the bill saying that rent control was going to be blanketed. They're even talking about having blanketed rent control across the country. That doesn't seem to make sense.
Well, no, it makes sense to me. It's a taking, and it's basically what they want to do, probably in truth, with the whole idea of harmonizing and open, whatever they call it, open borders, open wages, free free whatever it is that, I mean, I'm just saying it's illusionary and it's not going to work. You take an incentive out of play. People have no incentive. You got to want to play the game for a reason. What are we playing for? To win nothing? Oh, no. That's then that society.
Well, you're having a housing crisis. You have to do something to provide housing. And a lot of the people.
Wait a minute. That are we can do something. You've been, you know, my stand on density. That's what we need to do. We don't need to do anything. We need to let the people build on the land they already have and increase their estates and make up a little bit of coin here, whatever you want to call it, Happy Hanukkah shekels, Merry Christmas, whatever you want to call it. I mean, whatever you want to call it.
That's not going to make a dent. We need a lot of housing.
What do you mean it's not going to make a dent? A dent is not a dent. What do you mean it's not going
to
make a dent?
Housing don't necessarily want to build.
They will if they can make some money. They haven't been okay. Well, then don't. Those that don't want to don't have to. Nothing changes for them.
Exactly. But what I'm saying is that's not going to.
Okay. Well, I don't. I'm not. I don't have the whole idea as to what the solution is. But I know the incremental steps I suggest are. Need to be done, and it's not going to cost us $1 billion. And they'll 2035 plan to see what happens with the direction of. Hello?
November 21st, 2019, 8 o'clock a.m. For answers to the housing shortage, look to the sky. Written by Michael Polk of Polk Properties. Here in the U.S., we have a dire need for housing for a very varied population. We have a homeless problem, a housing affordability problem, livability concerns, and desirability issues. To solve them, I propose that we look to the sky. Look up at the clear skies above you now. That's your building area. Sophisticated property owners have long coveted what are called air rights, which grant permission to create new density by building upward. It's more easing of the current planning to meet housing or other needs. An overlay of what already exists, so to speak. Now, some would say, why not build somewhere else? There is a lot of unused land. I can see it. That is true, but that land may not be useful for a host of reasons. People mostly need all of the same things, i.e. transportation, places to work, services, healthcare, entertainment. To get this in one place, you need a concentration of those services and needs. You need cities. In an analysis of densification, researchers in March 2019 wrote, "Due to significant population and economic growth, urbanization has occurred around the world at unprecedented rates in recent decades. In response to these trends, UN Habitat has identified planned city infill, redevelopment, and densification as three critical areas to focus its global urban development agenda. According to the research of UN Habitat, most cities in the world have forfeited agglomeration benefits and instead have generated sprawl, congestion, and fragmentation over the last two decades. The unstructured nature of urbanization presents great difficulties for developing prudent land use policies by city planning offices. What does this have to do with real estate in my city? Government planners, like many other professions, have organizations that they or their departments belong to where they discuss the trade. A great deal of planning for your city is based on UN designs. The designs are based on a view that what may generally work can be applied globally. But if all real estate is local and planning affects local matters, what gives? While these plans filter down to your local level, the forums where they are discussed are usually within regional planning agencies that cities, counties, and states belong to. If the density is going to be applied on any significant level locally, we need to bring in the requisite stakeholders. Anyone who owns property within an area where major dense development is planned should also be able to apply this land rush for their gain, pursuant to their air rights. Let's say I own a building across the street from a development that has all the touchstones of modern planning. There's also a run-of-the-mill residential property down the street owned by someone else. Perhaps that owner could create more rental space if only they had been factored in during the planning process. Let's look at our real local planning needs and start with the basics. If you as a property owner want to investigate whether your property could see a density increase, go to your local building and safety or planning department and ask to see the general plan they have for the next 10, 20, or 30 years. This will give you a lay of the land for the future. Ask about the potential to apply density to your particular parcels. As the cities are crying out for more housing, air rights provides an opportunity to give it to them. This is where possibility lies, and perhaps it will begin to make a dent in this most urgent concern of affordable housing.
Protect their property in the digital age. With a growing number of employees working from home and 96% of people shopping online, protecting your commercial investment property is more important today than it has ever been. Keeping commercial renters is becoming increasingly difficult as more and more retailers shutter their doors to move toward an online profit. You need to think on a smaller scale and provide new ways to entice companies to stick with you even as times get lean for brick-and-mortar locations. 12 members of Forbes Real Estate Council share some of the ways commercial real estate investors can protect their properties in an age where a growing number of people shop online and work from home. Here's what they had to say. The following excerpt is an answer given by Michael Polk of Polk Properties. For additional responses from members of the Forbes Real Estate Council, check out the full article on Forbes.com. Position for the small footprint. Landlords are now faced with the end of the big box comfort.